time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and H.G. Nelson. H.G.
Yes, thanks very much, Jumpin' Jai, the centimeter guy in the soundproof booth, and welcome to the big stink here in Rio. Yes, that smell you can smell goes on day 11. And day 11, traditionally Commonwealth Games Day at any Olympic big stink. And a lovely, you know, meeting of hands across the water about Commonwealth Games Day, of course, the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast in 2018. So the stink moves from Rio, where we're not going so well, but more of that in a moment, to Gold Coast, where we'll win everything that's up for grabs. Well, of course, always here at the Herb Elliott, my very dear friend and colleague, rampaging Roy Slaven. Roy, some highlights of events overnight.
Yes, thanks very much, H.G. Nelson. And, well, it's a sober day, really, isn't it? The Shaunae Miller of the Bahamas diving controversy continues. It just won't go away. Bruce said he wished it hadn't happened, whereas Tamsin thinks it's fine. Well, good on you, Tamsin. And we've seen other people diving as a result of that dive that we saw yesterday, and we might have called it here, we were the first to call it, as an illegal act. More about that later. Brazilian crowds criticised for booing the French pole vaulter. We called that yesterday, and we were embarrassed by the behaviour of the crowds, and I noticed the tennis star, I should say, Juan Del Potro, is saying that the Brazilian tennis crowds, quote, don't know how to behave, unquote.
Big call, Roy.
Very big call.
And of course, in the football, there were complaints about the crowd behaviour as well.
Exactly. Now, Aussie discus hero Danny Samuels slams officials who forced her to throw in heavy rain. She said it's very, very dangerous, and it was. We saw what happened. She threw it in the net. It could have bounced back and hit anyone. Could have killed a kitty. And Floyd Mayweather, H.G. I was in the chill-out zone last night, just chilling out. And Floyd Mayweather poked his head in, said hello. He's in Rio to support boxing. His boxing team, that's the US boxing team. You can't blame him. It's a terrific thing to do. And made me wonder, where's Chuck Mundine or Danny Green or even Jeff Fenwick? Why aren't they here? Lending a bit of support to our tilt, which is not going particularly well. And interesting to note, HG, that now professionals allowed in boxing, in Olympic boxing. It's interesting to note that every professional who entered this year lost in the first round to amateurs.
Isn't that incredible? There was some stink about that because the IBF, the WBC, the ABC, the IQZ all said that it would be a mismatch, that the professionals would clobber the amateurs.
Be a slaughterhouse.
A slaughterhouse, exactly right. Yep. It would be completely over in the first 30 seconds.
Yep.
It wasn't to be.
No.
And, of course, a big story looming here about the Irish v. Russian bout in the heavyweights. Mm. Ooh, this could go on. Mm. I feel a new Cold War happening, Roy.
Between Ireland and Russia.
It's never happened before, but it's just about to start.
Wow.
It's a very, very sobering, story when we get to it. The big story I heard, though, this week in the chill-out zone was concerning whether Grant Hackett could have made a mentoring role. You mentioned, of course, Danny Green's noticeable in his absence.
Yeah, Chuck Mundine.
Chuck Mundine, Jeff Fenwick, the big names. Mm. But could Grant Hackett have settled our swimmers down a little bit?
Because
no one knows the tempo, the heat, the nervousness of competition at the top flight. Like
I think we need in our team, if you're going to isolate our swimming team, HG.
Just
for the moment. I think you need what I call a pool of wisdom.
A pool of wisdom?
A pool of wisdom that you can access. Let's say we had Dawn Fraser, Grant Hackett. Mm-hmm. Let's say Kieran Perkins. Just to name three.
Jody Henry,
the big-footed one.
Thorpe.
The man they knew as the Torpedo. Eh? How quickly we forget. If you knew they were sitting in a tent just waiting, if you had any questions, anything, you know, you wanted to run by, just an idea, it might be crazy, you don't know. Wouldn't it be great to access the great minds, to be able to sit with Dawn Fraser for 20 minutes just before you go?
Or an hour and a half.
Yeah, or an hour and a half. Oh. I mean, Dawn would give you 3 or 4 hours if you wanted to. I mean, the last person in the world a swimmer would turn to would be John Bertrand.
Higher, faster, longer. That's the secret of golden success on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
And Roy, now today's highlights. There's been so much action overnight and this morning already here in Rio. The big stink continues.
It does, HG. Lauren Wells last in the semi. The Opals are devastated at their loss. They were blown out of it, really, by having no umpire at all. Ella Nelson, as we've heard, third in the semis. In her semi, it was the run of a lifetime, really. It's the best run I've seen by an Aussie in a long, long time. It reminded me of Melinda Gainsford-Taylor at her best years ago. Anyway, she missed the final by 100th of a second, but by golly, HG.
Frightening.
Frightening what this girl is going to be able to produce over the next 4 years.
The Worlds.
So the Worlds coming up.
Yes, you've got the Commie Games.
Commie Games. I mean, the Worlds had her feet. Let's face it.
And where did she come again?
She came third in her semi, HG. Third. And had she dived, she'd be in the final.
I know. PB, though.
It was a PB.
22.05.
Yeah. Now, Mitchell Stark's brother, he's dipped out of the high jump. Didn't do much there. Kim Mickle dislocates her shoulder in the javelin. And Mitchell qualifies for the semis in the javelin, HG. So it's been a sobering day for those who dream of Aussie gold.
Now, Roy, before we go on, the Kim Mickle story is a terrific story. And I believe she represents everything. Born on Anzac Day.
Yes.
Both parents born on Anzac Day, incidentally.
Is that right?
And I spoke with her parents just here a little while ago, and they said to me, you know, you've got to remember that she hasn't competed for 11 months since her shoulder reconstruction.
Yep.
Mickle said to the mum and dad before she took it, it's a step into the unknown, mum and dad. Mm. I'm an underdog. This is my season opener, meaning the first time she's competed this since, well,
this is the first time she's picked up a javelin in 11 months.
11 months. And it's kind of got that cool element about it as well. I mean, she's no stranger to the chill-out zone, the edge.
No, she's suggesting that the javelin's suddenly cool? I suppose it is. I hadn't thought about it in those terms.
No one knows where I'm at and how I'm going to throw. Mm. She arrived with a dodgy shoulder, but talked herself into competing because she's one of the favourites after winning silver at the world titles 2 years ago in Moscow.
That's right.
It was a disaster. The shoulder blew out in qualifying rounds and required surgery as soon as I got home.
Mm.
But while the normal recovery period is at least 12 months, Mickle was determined to get to a second Olympics. She gave herself a deadline of throwing at least 20 metres 2 weeks out from the Games, which she achieved, albeit with a bit of discomfort. I put a solid plan together, followed to the T. I was always going to come up to the crunch time of literally a week before my flight was booked and whether I was going to be able to do it. Mm. I left it to death's door pretty much to see how the shoulder would respond, and it's responded really well, jumped on a plane, and here I am, and how'd she go, Roy?
Yeah, she pulled the muscle out. She threw the shoulder out completely, didn't she? It looks like the shoulder, well, she might have to switch arms. She might have to start throwing left-handed. I don't know how good she is. Oh, well, she's an Aussie. She'll be able to do it.
If you've ever had a dream, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, dreamers. This is Roy and HG's Mardi Gras of medals.
Now, Roy, this story that we're going to do now, I mean, look, you and I are professional commentators. We have to call it as we see it. We can't resile from these stories. And so I have that as a warning, but there is a real stink about this Team GB cycling tilt, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
We're not the only ones to have noticed this. I think you alerted me to it in the chill-out zone at the edge maybe about 3 days ago.
Yeah.
When you just came up and tapped me on the shoulder and you just indicated the fix was in.
Mm.
The story runs, and let's face it, Germany's Christina Vogel, gold medal winner at the London Games and bronze medal winner in Rio, has said she finds the Great Britain's dominance of the Olympic Games after they perform nowhere near as well at other meetings, such as the World Championships, very questionable.
Yes, at the very least.
Now,
questionable. Mm-hmm.
France's Michael Dalmeida, part of France's bronze medal winning team, he said, if I had an explanation, I wouldn't be here today with a bronze medal around my neck. I'm not in their camp, .. I don't know how it works. I have my ideas about certain things, but I'm going to shut up because I don't think it's good to speak in the heat of the moment.
Wow.
We come to the reporting of athletes involved in the Team GB tilt. Laura Trott.
Oh dear.
It felt like a breeze out there. I didn't believe we were going to do a world record. I actually said to Kate, this is Kate Archibald, that was possibly the easiest world record we've ever got. It felt like a breeze out there.
Felt like a breeze.
Now.
Felt like a breeze.
Further evidence from Team GB. Jason Kenny. He's equaled Sir Chris Hoy's British record of 6 Olympic titles when he won the, controversially, I might add, the Kieran today. Let me set out the facts in the Kieran. The race had to be started several times. As you know, this is the one where they follow the electric bike around and then the bike swerves into the infield and off they go. Very tense in the Rio Velodrome. Kenny appeared to hang back as the electric bike slipped aside, perhaps wary of triggering yet another restart. As the rider spun into the final lap, Kenny was still not in the lead, but the world's fastest sprinter found another level and burst clear ahead of the pack on the line. Now, he described his Olympics in this way. It felt like a dream. I guess I'm tired. I was just floating through it. Floating through it. So we have these two eyewitness accounts of people participating in it. One said it felt like a breeze. The other said it, gold winner, Laura Trott. Then, and can I point out, and I don't like doing this because it does add nothing to the story, that they're romantically involved. Romantically involved. You know, Jason Kenny and Laura Trott. Anyway, Trotty felt like a breeze. Kenny, JK, I felt as though I was floating through it. Roy, you've been around bikes a very long time. Do you think there's any truth to the matter that it's a hot tilt in Rio as part of the stink?
Well, you'd have to think so. You'd have to think that whatever Trot and Kenny are sharing, that's what I'm interested in pursuing. But, of course, there's no avenue to pursue this. No. You know, we can ask these questions till the cows come home. I mean, there's no tribunal, no forum. I mean, there's nothing we can do. All we can do is point the finger and say, look, we think Trot and Kenny are on some sort of gear that's very difficult to detect, but it's illegal and it's giving them an unfair advantage, and putting them in a dreamlike state where everything is like a breeze.
Can I point out, I saw you having a go at John Coates and I could lip read what you were saying from about a kilometre away. You were saying it's unfair to the Australians. You were stabbing him in the chest with your finger.
I said, what are you going to do about it, Coatesy?
And you, I think you pointed out that with one day of remaining in the track competition, Team GB has won 4 gold medals from 6 entries in events contested. Well, but it's worse than that. The total medal count they've got is enormous.
And if it's too good to be true, you've got to say to yourself, it's too good to be true. Now, there's one person that can do something about this, and his name is Pound, and his name is Dick.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And very sad for Anna Mears today, of course, sticking with the cycling theme. Remember Anna born on Anzac Day, obviously. She expects criticism for a 10th place in the sprint, which she won in London. But she says no one will pick it apart the loss more than me. Of course, this may end the 22-year elite racing career of the 11-time world champion, 6-time Olympic medalist and Australian team captain. She said, there's no one who will criticise it more than me. I knew it was going to be difficult, and I don't think I'd be that far out of the competition, though, meaning you know, finishing 10th. Now, my legs gave way for the first time in 22 years, and I just couldn't get anything more out of my body. Now, it's hard to know that she's been beaten by cheats, though.
Yeah, I know.
Doubly difficult, and I know she's not the sort of person who would say that.
She wouldn't. Look, I saw the interview last night with Hamish McLaughlin on Channel 7 HG. It was beamed into the chill-out zone, into the edge, and I watched it with Floyd Mayweather, and he was in tears, and he'd never heard of Anna Mears. It was a beautiful interview. I thought it really brought out the best in her, and I just wanted to reach out and touch and say, Anna, we love you. No one could have done more than you. I mean, sure, you might have been able to, you know, win us maybe a silver or something this time, but you got yourself a bronze, and that's pretty good. You've done enough.
And what did Floyd think about those ideas, Roy, reaching out and touching? Was that part of what his...
Well, he said that's why he was here. He said he's here. I'm here to reach out and touch my boxers. He referred to Team USA as his boxers. News to them, of course. But that's the kind of guy he is. He was in tears, as I was. I thought Hamish did a beautiful job, really.
Opening her up.
Yeah, opening her up. I mean, he tried to push her into a corner to get her to announce her retirement, but she wasn't going to fall for that.
She's too clever for that.
She's too clever for that. No, she dodged him. She said, you know, I'm going to go home, talk to my family, and in a few days' time come to a reasonable decision. And he said, you mean you're going to retire? And she said, I'm not saying that, Hamish. Or what I'm saying is I'm going to go and speak to my family. What about retirement? He said. She said, not necessarily. I'm just going to weigh everything up, Hamish. You know, he tried to really get it out of it.
Aren't they tremendous credit to whoever does the media organisation with these cyclists? They keep a true line on where they're going. Now, speaking of lines, we've still got Caroline Buchanan, the BMX star. Can I say BMX superstar? She's going to avenge the disappointment of her final in London when she was mauled completely by noticing David Beckham in the crowd.
Oh, dear.
At the start line. And she learned just before she, you know, pedalled away for disappointment that Prince William was watching on, you know, the heir to the throne. That, now, that would send anybody into a tears, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. You're a BMX rider. You're a tootie. You've been arrested here in Rio. You've got two or three tats.
Mm-hmm. That you never wanted.
That you never wanted, exactly. And all of a sudden you're thinking, well, what if David bloody Beckham and Prince Harry or Prince William are in the stands watching me? Can really put you off. Can really put you off.
She said that she, over the past 4 years, she's worked on a mental game, obviously physical strength and building that machine. And the machine she describes, this is interesting, the machine is made up of three parts, the motor, the mongrel, and the magic.
Well, it's the magic I'm interested in. Where do you buy it? Where can you get a bit of magic here in Rio? The chill-out zone. Sure.
Everything is coming together at this Olympics. Hopefully Becca might be here at this, you know, in the Prince, obviously. She says that, you know, training, including race crash equipment, failure, there's all sorts of reasons why you can't win a gold. Mm. She hopes that she's got them all in place and under control.
Yep.
And, of course, London felt like the magnitude of the Games. You know, she was overwhelmed by the magnitude. I had to step up bigger than myself and perform bigger than myself. So patience is the biggest thing. We've got a strong squad. Roy, are you thinking gold for men?
Well, I am. But she's got to get herself in the mindset where she hopes, you know, I think BMX riders have got to hope someone great is in the audience watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to look around and say, well, I wonder if David Beckham's here today. Give him a wave.
Yeah, enjoy
Prince
it.
Prince William, love your work, dude. Watch me.
Mm.
You know, that's the attitude you got. I'm an Aussie.
Yeah. See my new tat?
Yeah.
You know, lead with the elbow if that's where it is.
That's right.
Now, look, leaving that to one side, refereeing, and refereeing can win or lose you a gold medal in the BMX, just like any other competition here.
Mm.
There has been some criticism, and I've just set three things.
Yeah.
The opals, people feel as though the referee's umpire swallowed the whistle. The 10K swim, which we're getting reports on of kerfuffle at the finish line, and the boxing, where, as I said in my opening comments, there's a tremendous to-do in the heavyweights between the Irish competitor and the Russian. Start with the opals, though, Roy. Do you think they were...
Well, I know Cambage was fouled continually, and not one foul against her was called. I know with Penny Taylor, she was fouled again all the time. They were scratched, they were spat on, they were kicked and bumped, hipped, charged, headlocked, thrown into the crowd, and the whistle wasn't blown once.
It was WWE, wasn't it?
It almost was.
They have a...
I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen a lot of cheating in my time. I've seen corrupt officials. You know, we all know them and we all know who they are.
Now,
having said that, I've never seen anything as worse, as bad as I saw the way the opals were. And let's face it, Australia has been penalised for being honest brokers.
Mm-hmm. For being Australian,
right? For being Australian, for being honest.
In the boxing, Michael Conlon has blown up in what you described to me as an extraordinary post-fight interview after his controversial exit from the Rio Olympics. Now, Russia's Vladimir Nikitin... you know, let's face it, the Irish amateur lost to the Russian on points. All three judges gave two of the three rounds to his opponent.
Yeah.
Clearly disgusted, Conlon, well, he raised the middle finger at the judges. Then he used the ringside interview to accuse Olympic boxing of corruption.
Yes.
And he wasn't diplomatic about it, and I can't quote what he said.
He used the dirty words. Now, does this remind you of Jeff Fenwick? Remember when Jeff Fenwick refused to leave the ring? Was it Jeff who was given a dud decision all those years ago?
Now, I think the Seoul Games are considered the worst for boxing.
Yeah.
When the Egyptian referees seemed to, I don't know, have a different view of where they were.
Of reality.
A
different view of reality.
Yeah.
Well, this is what's happened again, because I watched that bout and I saw the Nitkin kid, the Russian. He's a terrific fighter, but they had to the third round he didn't show. He was in the hospital. He was mince meat being stitched back together in the hospital. He got the shock of his life when they brought him around and said, "You've won."
This is the Rio Rumba, a sumptuary swivelling of the hips on the Mardi Gras of medals, with HG Nelson and rampaging Roy Slaven.
Obviously, Michael Conlon was pretty furious, but we did get a chance to talk to him for the Mardi Gras of medals, and he said to us, you know, Roy H. G., my chance at Olympic gold is over. My dream's been shattered. But you know what? I've got a bigger career ahead of me. And these, they're known for being cheats. They'll always be cheats. Amateur boxing stinks from the core right to the top. Wow. They've robbed me of my Olympic dream. Obviously, Russia can't dope this time. They're paying judges a lot more than me. Well, meaning Ireland paying the judges.
Right.
Do you think there's any truth to this?
Yes.
Colin claimed practically no one in the arena, apart from the judges, thought Nikitin had won the fight. When I went back to the corner after the first round, I wasn't even breathing. Heavy. You know, the corner man said, "You've done fantastic. You'll win this easy."
Yeah.
I had an engine. I heard him. I hit him a shot, and he yelped in the ring. I put him into more and more trouble. I thought I annihilated him. The second, third was closer. But even though I thought I'd done enough to win, the Russian afterwards didn't believe he had won when he came to in the hospital.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't there for his hand to be raised. I think that should be looked at as well. I didn't believe he won, said Michael. The referee didn't believe he won. I didn't think the corner believed he won. And then he reacted as if he won the gold medal.
Yeah. Yeah. Were the judges Russians, HG? Do we know?
No.
No. No. Were they in possession of wads of rubles?
They
in their
were.
Wallets, in
they
their
were.
Wallets.
And
yes.
Dashes on the Caspian Sea and
yes,
so on,
okay.
as you expect.
Yep.
And new cars, new Zills. I'm not sure if they're making that. They've got a couple of, you know, obviously reconditioned Zills to zoom around in.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
he said he's never going to do this again. He's never going to box in this competition again.
No.
If people watch the Olympic Games and they see these decisions, some of these decisions, I think boxing is dead.
Wow.
It's about whoever pays the most money, whoever has the biggest influence wins.
Wow.
Were you there at, have you seen Floyd in the chill out zone?
Look, I'm hoping to bump into Floyd in the chill out zone should he drop by tonight, because I haven't been able to talk to him about this particular bout. Mm-hmm. I know Floyd was going to watch it, so I'd be interested to see what his thoughts are. But it's a sorry old day, isn't it, when Russian rubles, see, this goes back to Putin. It goes all the way back to Putin. I mean, Putin has declared that...
heavyweight gold will be ours.
Will be ours, yes. By hook or by crook. He's a total pragmatist. Couldn't give a bugger about fairness or honesty or the Australian spirit. I tell you what, he never even thinks of the Australian spirit.
You know, he's never heard of Anzac Day.
Is that right?
Yeah, never heard of it. Doesn't even recognise April the 25th as being on the calendar. Now, on good news, though, we were lucky enough to get in the chill-out zone when the teams came back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're working and late at night. We hook up with some of the members of the team, Mac Horton and Kyle. He's now known as the Big Tuna Chalmers. Kyle Chalmers, the Big Tuna.
The Big Tuna. Isn't that great?
Anyway, they've...
Great? Because he'll be able to market that, won't he, when he comes back to Australia.
Maybe get his own product in a supermarket.
Yes.
The Kyle Chalmers, the Big Tuna.
The Big Tuna. Fish. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Tight fit. Now, he took advantage of, well, both of them did really, of the perfect weather yesterday after the day before. And they got up to Corcovado Mountain, where Christ the Redeemer, or as it's known locally, Bruce the Redeemer is. But the statue took second place because the Big Tuna spotted a familiar face in the crowd, NBA star Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, wow.
He immediately blurted out, "I've got to meet him."
Yeah.
And pleaded with the Dolphins security staff to talk to the people who are looking after the US team to see if they could chat to the to New York Knicks, $25 million man. "This might help," said Chalmers, reaching into a pocket and pulling out his gold medal. It did the trick.
Wow.
Incredible, isn't it?
The
beautiful photo bobbed up of Mac Horton, the Big Tuna, and Carmelo.
Wow. Isn't that great when you see your heroes like that and... You know, that gold medal, pull it out of your pocket, it just opens so many doors.
It does, doesn't it?
Now, yeah. And when they go back to Australia, if you've got a gold medal, you can just go to the bank, you can get loans, you can go to car yards, do you want a new BMW? Do you want a new Ford Fiesta? Yes, please. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just awesome. You just go into a bakery, you know, give us a bun. Are you? Yeah, hold the medal up. Get out of here. Take as many buns as you like. I mean, it just opens doors anywhere. I mean, you know, go to the police station. No, I don't want to tap. Yeah, no worries, mate. You're right.
Now, can I ask? I notice John Bertrand's come out and said he's not supposed to be carrying his medal around with him.
Oh, that'd be Bertrand, wouldn't it?
But Bertrand says, I think Kyle, or the Big Tuna, is just starting to find how many doors the gold medal can open.
Well, how would he know? How would Bertrand know? He's never had a gold medal. He wouldn't know what a bloody gold medal looks like.
No, true.
Bertrand.
Now, can I say, after our tremendous discussion of merchandising possibilities yesterday concerning the Golden Gun.
Oh, yes.
Look, the Olympic movement have asked us to promote the Double Dung. This is a memorabilia celebrating the great work of Kate Campbell and Bronte Barrett.
Oh, wow.
For the first time. Obviously, it it commemorates their Double Dung, the first time that's been achieved. Personally signed by both, presented in a deluxe timber frame.
Beautiful.
Design incorporates a collection of action, obviously images of celebrating the girls' work here at the Big Stink.
Mm-hmm.
8 metres by 5 metres, officially licensed by the AOC. There's a certificate of authority. What's interesting is it comes with a little sachet of water from the pool.
Oh, wow.
And when you open it up,
yes,
you get a real sense of the Big Stink.
Isn't that fantastic? Mm. And has John Bertrand signed the back of it?
He has.
He has.
The romance of Rio continues with the Carnival of the Rings on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
And Roy, people have been contacting us here in Rio at the Herb Elliott Stadium, and they've raised some fascinating questions for us to tackle. And if you do want to get in touch with us, Roy and HG at triplem.com.au or hashtag Mardi Gras of medals. And who have you got there who's been in touch?
Yeah, Dottie's been in touch, HG. He says this was billed as the Pin Olympics.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that. Well, it's true. I guess it was.
Was that something Coates mentioned in media
statements? Yeah, Coates or one of them. One of them. Not sure. Anyway, but I haven't heard a word about pins from Hamish. The other McLaughlin, that'd be Mel, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mel and Hamish aren't here. They're, of course, back in Sydney. They're doing their work from Sydney, from Redford. Yeah, from the studios there. So it's a bit hard. You can't blame them for not having pins.
Well, in the chill-out zone, there's tray after tray of Tom.
Yeah.
The lively.
Tom, whatever he is. He's one of those manufactured animals. He's got a bit of everything in him, hasn't he? He's part bird, part rat plus
capybara.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I haven't heard a word about pins from Hamish and the other McLaughlin, that is Mel. Hasn't heard about pins from Bruce, Tamsin, Paddy, that'd be Paddy Welsh, and nothing from us. Please tell us about the swap meets and what are the hottest pins in town. Well,
I tell you what, the hottest pin in town won't surprise you. A gold fatso.
Is that right?
Yeah, very hot.
Very hot. Okay.
I saw one the other day.
Yeah.
I left it alone.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of pin meets happening sort of spontaneously all over town. Doesn't matter where you go up to the Redeemer, there's a meet happening there. You know, it's fantastic. I mean, if you do love your pins, and I do, I just can't get enough of them. They're all meaningful, aren't they? I mean, when you look back, HG, I don't know how many Olympics we've done. Let's say we've done 5. You know, remember the first pin you ever bought?
Yeah, I do. Look, it was a Channel 7 pin.
Yeah, that's right.
It was worthless.
So I know, totally worthless.
I know, and yeah, I
tried to sell mine.
Yeah.
I know, no one was interested. Now, Sheehan has been in touch. He says, any talk of the Bronte sisters' autobiographies? Well, yes. As far as I know, Pool and Prejudice by Campbell Bronte is available maybe next week. And Pride and Pool, as we mentioned yesterday, by Kate Bronte is coming out. So they're two beautiful additions to anyone's library.
They are. And look, one thing I see is, I think it was Arnott's been in touch. June Arnott.
Mm.
I've been absolutely fascinated by all the great Olympians born on Anzac Day.
Oh, well, who hasn't?
As a keen student of Australian history, I thought this strange at first, given the Olympics are slightly older than Anzac Day. It turns out Anzac Day falls on April the 25th, not because the troops landed in Turkey and got wrecked, you know, obviously, by the Turks, amongst others, but because Edwin Flack, the great Edwin Flack, was born on that very day.
Wow.
The date for the Gallipoli landing, April the 25th, was chosen to commemorate Flack's birthday.
Isn't that an interesting take on history, HG? Mm. That's fascinating, isn't it? I had no idea. No idea at all.
It's weird how it fits.
Because Flack is a magical.
Well,
why hasn't there been a film about Edwin Flack? Here was a bloke who just turned up at the Olympics. He didn't know what was going on. He was an Aussie travelling, interested in overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to be there at the time. Thought, oh, well, I'll have a go. I've got a pair of shorts.
Mm-hmm. And a pair of Volio C's.
Yeah, something like that.
800 metres, 1500 metres.
Won
ran
everything.
In the marathon, yeah, went in the doubles tennis, cleaned up in everything.
Cleaned up in everything.
He was the template.
Yes.
Through which.
I know.
Anzacs were forced before they could go to April the 25th celebration.
You got something like, 18, 20 gold medals, something like that?
Mm. Now, finally, here's one for you. Well, a bit hard to know. Mel, I think, is writing.
Mel McLaughlin?
No.
From Australia?
No, Mel McLeod.
Oh, okay.
Loving the show. Two things. Have you seen how many BMXers have tattoos?
Wow.
The McLeod position is obviously a lot of arrests by local police. They highlight, or McLeod highlights, Nick Long from the USA in particular.
Mm-hmm. What, few tats?
Yeah. Well, I can't say I've seen Nick here.
No.
He'd be coming, blowing in pretty late. Very tutty, the BMX. You think skateboarders are tutty with their lifestyle and their skateboarding's the pinnacle of skateboarding rave? Mm. Wait till you see BMXers in action. They're a completely different bag.
Yeah. Do they do better HG when they're, you know?
The colour, the movement, the magic, and the million. Portaloos. This is Rio. This is the Mardi Gras of Middles with Roy and HG.
Yes, welcome back to day 11 of the Big Stink and the Herb Elliott Stadium here in Rio. And just for those keeping track, look, the medal tally. Look, it doesn't make disappointing reading yet, but Australia's got 7 gold, 8 silver and 9 bronze. So it's improving as we go towards the tin dung end of the spectrum. So far we've got 24 medals. And Roy, do you think we're on target to equal the 8 gold and 35 medals that we got in London?
No.
You think we can do that?
Yeah, look, I think we can, but we're not going to get anywhere near we were in Sydney.
Oh, well, no. We'll never achieve that
but
again.
But isn't that our ambition? Don't we want to get better? Aren't Aussies better than that?
Well, I think Aussies
don't
are
we
better.
Reach for the stars?
But look,
Paradua ad Astra, all of that.
Look at the handy, look at the lead in the saddlebags. We've got Bertrand weighing down on the swimming team.
We've got
this judging and boxing tonight. Opals, you know, read all about it. The swim where the kid's in front and then all of a sudden he's, you know, 8 behind. The only luck we had was Tommy Burton coming from behind in the sailing.
In the sailing.
You know, that's
In the laser, that's right.
Laser.
That's right.
Goal.
Are you suggesting, reading between the lines here, trying to join some bloody dots in my tortured mind, that maybe John Bertrand was put in charge thanks to Vladimir Putin?
That's my theory. I'm developing that thesis as this goes along. They didn't call it the Big Stink for nothing. Because there's, you know how a
so
stink
he's Putin's man.
Stink starts at the top. You know.
What about, okay, well.
Now, finally today, Ashley, and look, let's end on a positive note.
Please.
Ashley Gentle has suffered a devastating blow just days out from the women's triathlon in Rio after a race bike has been damaged in transit from the US. Gentle, in women's race on Sunday, said she had no words after finally receiving her bike with several cracks in the carbon frame. Gentle will miss the first course familiarisation ride before, you know, the US-based coach Cliff English arrives with a new bike. My coach is bringing a spare bike in a couple of days, although I'll probably just have to replace the fork. I'll miss the first course.
Oh, Lord, it's not good. Couldn't she borrow a bike to go around and have a look? You can hire bikes here. I've seen them.
Mm.
You can hire bikes just outside the edge, the chill-out zone. They got bike hire there. Sure, it may not be compliant for Olympic standards.
It's not a Speedwell.
No.
But be that or a Melbourne Star, I understand that. But they do have the necessary gearing in the right place at the bottom of the feet.
Is this a fork, handlebar and bloody chain and stirrups? What else do you need? Wheels!
This is the sweetest sound. Roy and HG. It's a Mardi Gras of medals.
Ah, yes. That sort of takes us away from the stink for another. But we've got a couple more days left.
Oh, we've got the boomers in the morning. Can't wait. Go, you boomers.
We'll see you here for more of the stink tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye now.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.